Penguin Random House Audio presents The Devils of Cardona by Matthew Carr. Read for you by Robertson Dean. Chapter 1. In the early hours of March 20th, 1584, Padre Juan Panayes awoke from a drunken stupor to find his servant girl Ines lying naked beside him. It was the morning after the Day of the Beast, and the skinny little body that had briefly aroused him during the previous night's festivities now took up so much room that he prodded her awake with his elbow, nearly pushing her out of the narrow bed. Ines knew what was expected of her. She crawled sleepily out from under the blankets and slipped on her dress and tied back her hair in the murky half-light before padding from the room to prepare his breakfast. The priest rolled over and squeezed his eyes shut in a vain attempt to ignore his parched tongue and throbbing temples. Finally, he abandoned the effort and hoisted his heavy body upright. He sat on the edge of the bed in his nightshirt, with his large feet resting on the cold, tiled floor, and grimaced at the acrid smell of sex, wine, and stale beer, and the sight of the sagging purse on the bedside table. He could not remember how much he had lost, or whether he had lost it on cards or dice, but he knew that it had been a bad night. He told himself that there would be other games and better nights, as he went out into the privy to piss and curse the shriveled cock that had led him again to stray from the path of virtue. He rinsed it clean and sponged his face and body before eating the bread, egg, and ham that Ines had left him. After washing the food down with a glass of brandy, he changed into his vestments, first the white alb, then the amice draped over his shoulders, followed by the long black cape. Even when he had acquired at least the appearance of piety, the voice of his conscience told him that he was not fit to serve God or administer the holiest of sacraments. But in all his years in these mountains, he had never failed to celebrate the Eucharist, no matter what he had done the night before. Outside, the first red slats of light were spreading above the high peaks and the towering massif that separated God's chosen people from their enemies. He heard the stream flowing down into the side of the ravine, louder than usual as a result of the melting snows, and the first morning birds that he neither could name nor cared to name. Even though it was late March, his panting breath still gave off a cloud of steam as he stepped out into the courtyard adjoining the church, his sandals squeaking on the hard, stony ground with a heavy tread that anyone in the village could have recognized, and which many of them had reason to fear and detest. Father Panayes knew that his parishioners did not love him, but he had long since ceased to feel any remorse for the fact that a man of the cloth should be the object of fear and loathing. In another place, he might have felt different, but not here, in Bellamar de la Sierra. Its inhabitants were people from another world and time, savages and heretics, who showed more affection for the black-faced performer dressed up as a bear that they dragged through the streets on the same day every year than they would ever feel for the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Even now, in the penultimate decade of the 16th century, they continued to believe that this pagan superstition could expunge all the year's accumulated evil from the town. But as he had told them often enough, the evil was inside them. It was something they carried in their blood that was passed down through their mother's milk and handed down from one generation to the next. Such people could never be saved, not even by the holy apostles themselves, and since they could never willingly embrace the faith, then even the fact that they feared him was a kind of achievement. On this particular morning, however, he took no satisfaction from the power he held over them, but only bitterness, resentment, and self-pity at the 7 years he had wasted in these mountains, when so many others who were just like him, and certainly no better, had obtained high positions in cathedral chapters in Segovia and Salamanca, or rich parishes and fat benefices in Castile, Valencia, and Andalusia, and other places where those who served God and his church could receive their just reward on earth as it is in heaven. After all the years he had spent in these dismal mountains, he deserved similar reward. And yet there was no prospect of any change in his situation, despite the many letters he had written to the bishop and the archbishop, pleading for a transfer to another parish, and reminding them of his selfless and unrelenting attempt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?